Thanks for hitting play again on this episode. If you're loving what we're doing here on the Professional Photographer Podcast, you're just scratching the surface of what PPA has to offer. As a PPA member, you'll get access to benefits that support and protect your business, like equipment insurance, sales and marketing tools, discounts on industry essentials, and even a 24/7 affordable telemedicine program. What? Need help with contracts and copyright protection? We got you. And customizable resources and tools are waiting for you. And that's not all. Members also enjoy Professional Photographer Magazine, delivered monthly, packed with stunning visuals, inspiring stories, and practical tips to keep you growing. Explore all the perks of membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I mean, it's only three letters. You can remember that, right? PPA.com. We want you to join our community. We are here to help you grow and thrive. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. Welcome into the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller, and we are live at Imaging USA 2025 in Dallas. On today's show, we are continuing the Creative Play series, and this one is a special episode because Seth Miranda and Daniel Norton are on the show. Now, if you've seen them do their thing live, you have an idea of what we're in for. I think I get the first question out, and then we just have an outrageously fun discussion about what it means to have a voice, what it takes to take your talents as far as you can, and we get to hear them riff back and forth for a really entertaining conversation that I know you're going to love. Now, here, our studio, presented by Sony, we're using all the best gear. The Sony CinemaLine cameras are all around me, and the app that they're using to control everything is just incredible. Their Monitor and Control app, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. They're helping this look good, so you know how talented they are. Seth and Daniel are standing by. We're talking all about creative play. Let's bring them in now. Seth and Daniel, welcome to the show. How are you?
Sweaty.
Sweaty.
I'm exhausted, man.
Yeah.
I've been talking for 6 hours. What's up?
Yeah. Been a full day already, huh?
Yeah, he's been busy standing around.
Mm-hmm. I stand around a lot.
Yeah, I heard you were like the guide today, telling people to go down this way and turn left.
Yeah, I was like somewhere over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go that direction. And you've been yelling at people? What have you been doing?
Well, I did videos for the PPA channel to cover the show, to show people what the show is. But then I did a demo, and a demo to me is like a punk show. You know, you're on the floor. I don't deal well with people not talking back to me. So if I, just, quiet crowds freak you out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they freak you up.
Well,
I prefer it.
Well, half of your crowd is asleep.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. So
it's true.
Yeah?
No. I hope not.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, as you can see, play is natural to you two, and today we want to talk about creative play and watching your stuff. It seems like you're not really working, even though you are. It seems so playful. Is that just come to you naturally when you're performing that everyone thinks it's play, even though you're teaching them?
I work. He gets
you work,
to play.
He plays.
No, it's we're very fortunate to do what we do, honestly. And to get this started, like, none of this would have happened without Daniel. I just want to put that out there. Like, I know I get down on him, and like, we have a lot of fun, but I like to think that we're at a level where we're so deep on that we can get that.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who started doing demos in the middle of a store in New York while it was just a store. There was no room. He was hiring martial artists from down the block to do spin kicks in the middle of the store to show people how to freeze action with strobe. Mm-hmm. And these rumblings started happening in the community in New York. Like, you'd be on a commercial white psych back and be like, oh, Daniel's going to be doing this on Thursday. Then Thursday became the pro day.
Right, Thursday was pro day.
Adorama. So you just gravitate there and we'd all just meet up. It was kind of like, I don't know, that was like our break room from working all over the city. So you'd run into other guys, get jobs from each other, assist for each other, because Daniel was doing a demo. Mm-hmm. Then I guess they thought there was something special, so they started putting chairs down. Yep. Then they made room. Then cameras went up out of nowhere.
Yep.
Like, out of nowhere, they just started streaming this. And I remember going, like, where is this going? Like, it was so new. Streaming was so new.
Yeah.
Remember those cameras, those jank cameras?
Yeah. And the giant, like,
oh, it was so weird. But to Daniel's credit, he really felt it was necessary to have this. Mm-hmm. He really taught guys like me who are very cutthroat and isolated that no, we can be a community, because, you know, when we grew up, people held stuff to the chest.
Yeah.
And Dan really taught all of us to pay it forward if you want to have the next. And it took a while for me to understand that. And then He was like, you should speak at the space. And I was like, I don't speak. I just shoot. And he's like, well, I'll pay you. I'm like, all right, I'll be there Thursday, you know?
Well, yeah, because what happens is when you start doing these things, there's a lot of people that will speak who shouldn't be speaking. I'm sorry to say, but, you know, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, I have a PowerPoint. Click, click. You know, I saw something right online. But and when I saw Seth, I was like, Seth would come in. He'd be like with the Speedotron packs.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And he'd be on jobs. And I'm like, you are so knowledgeable. You just need to share that, right? Because that's it. Like, you have it. You know, you've got all this. Like, Seth comes off tough wherever you see him, but he's the one of the most technical photographers I know, and I know a lot of photographers.
Oh, thanks, man.
He can tear that stuff up, and you look, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, like, that's cool because you're doing a special effect or whatever, but you try to shoot that. Like, the technique that goes into what he creates is so rich and so deep. I was like, you need to speak. And you didn't want, at first, you're like, I'll do it, but I won't live stream.
Oh, I don't want my name on it. I was doing all that other stuff, and I wasn't using my real name.
Little by little.
I don't want to get into this whole thing.
But that's for the other podcast.
But I will say, like, no one knew how to do a proper demo, right? And we still see it today. And then when I watch Dan do it, he starts off with a black frame and then builds this. And, like, for guys like us, we'd be done in 5 minutes. But we got to make it an hour-long breakdown. Right. And I learned that from him and Joe McNally. And Joe did the line that both of us took where it's like, who's taking a bad photo? Great. You're going to see a bunch of them right now. Mm-hmm. And because you got to show them where it could start for them. Because if you start off with the finished photo, they don't understand what went into that. So I learned the teaching style from Dan, and then I just turned into 30% pro wrestling and yelling. But there was nothing like this when you did this. There was no space. No. There was, especially in New York, there was no such thing as a space.
Hmm. Yeah. And the thing is that it's everybody is afraid, or some people are afraid, that people will think like, oh, no, you took a bad frame or you didn't nail this, so you're not good.
Right.
So they refine this like show of this thing that they're pretending like they're shooting on some level. And I didn't feel like you learned from that. Like, I'd see these videos, guys would be like, I put the light here, and then they raise the camera to their face in slow motion. And also this like fully retouched picture appears. It's like, okay, fine. But what if you have, just like Seth said in his demo, what if you don't have that model in that space with that light exactly? It's not going to look like that. Why does it look like that? And then by breaking it down, you can really show. And we started getting comments that were like, my favorite part of this is when you start going down a sideways thing that doesn't work.
The rabbit hole.
And it's like, yeah, well, that's it, because this is exactly what you do, right? You shoot, you get the thing for the client, then you experiment, you play, if you want to use that term. And that's how you learn, right? That's how you build things on the client's dollar. It's like, let me try something, you know? And then that's basically how you refine technique. But I was just saying to somebody earlier that the reason why I do this is because I was living in Massachusetts. I read a book, right? Don't read books. It was like, oh, how to be a photographer in 30 days. So I quit my job. I moved to Miami thinking, I got a nice apartment. I walked in the first modeling agency. They looked at my book, closed it, stood up and said, why did you waste my time? And walked out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I should do something else. And that something else is be a photo assistant. And what I learned as a photo assistant was community, what Seth's talking about. People, like, I literally worked for a group of photographers that shared a big studio, and they would bid against each other. And it was friendly, you know, it was like, and they would work together and send each other work. And they taught, like, they were like, we're teaching you how to do this so that you can be the next generation.
Right. Yeah.
And I always felt like that's my obligation now. Somebody did that for me, because I learned nothing in school. Well, I learned a little bit in school, but what I learned was in the street with other photographers that shared their knowledge with me. Not thinking I was going to steal it, right?
Yeah.
They shared it, and that's the difference.
Yeah, but we both worked for photographers over the years that would rip up, in the day, they'd rip up Polaroids after they shot them because they didn't want you to figure out what they're doing because they thought you were going to steal their jobs. Yeah. But if you worked hard enough, you'd get like 15 minutes after the clock, and they'd sit down and they'd be like, here's why we did this. Once you had to gain respect. Here, you got a lot of people that watch the YouTube video and going, hey, I'm going to charge you for headshots. And it's like, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
But, you know, this industry also didn't feel like it was for everybody. So when I was coming up, you go to, like, trade shows, and it'd just be a bunch of guys with pocket vests saying big words that were boring as hell. Or all they did was shoot weddings and birds or whatever. And you'd be like, well, I don't shoot any of this. I shoot skating and BMX and all this craziness. And nobody looked like me. And I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Maybe there is no profession for me here. But once you realize that you just got to find your place, now you can type in and find people you connect with. Anyone will show you how to use a softbox, right? But you find the right instructor that's speaking your language that you are on the same wavelength with. And I like to think that me and Dan, while we're like of like mind, we talk differently. Like, he's way more rational. But I just... I think that's the hardest part for people is to find where they connect. And even here, when I got told you should check out imaging, I'm like, what the hell is imaging? I don't know what any of this is.
Yep.
And I got here and it's like tucked in shirts. And I'm like, I don't belong here. You know, like this is not my people. But then you get on the stages and you speak your part and your point of view. And then everyone's nodding their heads. And, you know, they might not look like you or came from where you came from. But you're all in the same business of going, I want to do something cool. How do I do something cool? Now, how do I make a living doing that cool thing I like doing?
Mm-hmm.
And we both, I think, feel we owe it to our industry the way we came up, which I don't think is going to happen the way we did it.
Right.
And going on these channels, going live, making sure that there's an archive that I keep saying kids because we get a lot of like college kids at our event space,
sure.
NYU, right. New School, Parsons, they're all around there.
Yeah.
And you can see that they're trying, but no one's talking to them a way that they can go, it's hitting for me now. So I guess, I don't know, you feel responsible. I feel like we have responsibility to the game. I wouldn't be making a living. I wouldn't be doing this. And I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for what he did. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be trying to hit levels if it wasn't for guys like Joe McNally that pulled us along. Like, and I keep thinking, like, somewhere out there, we might be doing that for somebody else.
Right.
That's right.
You know, and it's really weird because I'm still a punk and I don't care about anything, right? So
yeah.
When someone comes up to me and is like, I'm now making extra living because of Hedge, I'm like, cool, I don't know what to tell you. Good luck. Like, I don't know. It's very weird and awkward, but something's happening out there if we're able to do this for it. We're on 15 years now? What are we doing?
Yeah.
We'll probably, right?
Yeah, around 13, 14 years.
Something around there, yeah.
Isn't it weird that when you were coming up, no one was teaching, but you were teaching? You felt really isolated. People weren't sharing. Yet today, there's a limitless amount of information. You can learn anything you want, but they still feel isolated.
Oh, no, there's
a
lot.
Still feel like they don't have the experience of a community to teach them what they need to know.
There's that, but there's a lot of information, but not a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of YouTube videos that'll spit out a bunch of specs and go, A, B, C, D, E, F.
Yeah.
But when we go live, I take a lot of honor in, it's going to be hard, and we're going to be like, no matter what, I'm coming out of this because we've been through this. Yes, something's going wrong. Something's going haywire. That prototype thing that we got to shoot for that video, the firmware is going to crash and we got to find a way out of it. We'll get to an end result. I can't stand the videos that are so like overly scripted. What happens if that didn't happen? And then we get people in our classes, we have to deprogram and rewire them to be like, that's not true. That's a myth. What channel did you hear that on?
Yep.
Just because it's on YouTube doesn't mean it was vetted, doesn't mean that it's right, and doesn't mean that you've got to listen to it. And I think don't just listen to us. Watch 50 channels on the same topic and see where the middle point hits.
Yeah.
I've actually learned a lot of that because I started building PCs years ago and I never did. And I watched like 60 channels. And as a guy in another industry teaching, I was like, oh, this guy sucks. That guy's totally paid by that brand. Let me figure out a midpoint. And I mixed together the right people to get me to where I got to go as myself. And that's the hardest part for people is don't emulate us or anyone you're listening to.
Yep.
Take it, stand on it, now build your own.
Yeah.
You got to be yourself. And the hardest thing is building a perspective and a style, because this is all a language. And if you don't really understand your voice, you don't know what you're saying, you're not producing work that's going to hit.
Yeah, and that style that you get is a mixture of all the things you've come from, right? The language is your version of what you see Seth do, what you see me do, what you see anybody do. You've got to take it and make it your own. If you're just copying, you'll never really get there. So again, that comes back to the fundamentals, is like understanding why, you know, a pizza box works for a reflector, right?
I got one.
It makes a big difference, right? People don't understand. It's like, you can use a pizza box and it's cool because it shows the technique, but why do we buy this piece of gear? You know, and one of the things that I used to do when I first came into Adorama is people would come in and they'd go, I need lights. And I would say, well, what are you doing? And they'd be like, this. And I'd be like, what do you have? And they'd be like, this. And I was like, why do you need lights? And they didn't know what they were doing. That's how the demo started. Literally me with a piece of paper drawing diagrams going, this is what all you need to do. And they were like, what, really? Yeah. Like, and then they'd walk out. And you know, of course, probably as a retailer, they're probably like, why aren't you selling stuff?
Thanks a lot.
But like, that's not. But the thing is, they come back because they realize, if Daniel said I needed something, I needed it, because he's not going to tell me to buy something just to buy it.
Right? That's the thing about to Adorama's credit.
Yeah.
They never said, sell this.
That's right.
And whenever we get the one comment that I will not stand for is if they call you a shill because you're showing a new product. We get to have fun playing with new products. Yep. That's amazing. And I love that I get to touch everything that's out there, make my own opinions and see what the developers of these things came to be, and these amazing genius engineers. But people don't understand that we don't care what you buy. Right. We care that you don't just buy something expensive and quit next week, because that's happened every day we watch this. That used department, we watch these rich guys hang their heads and go, take my blah, blah, blah. But we had a, remember Lori?
Yeah.
So we had a woman who was starting a second life, basically. She had tremors. She had a small little cannon. Yeah. Mm. And she wanted to shoot. She'd show up to the event space, not to the events. She'd go grab prints and mouse her way through them and not show anybody. And I was like, you know, you should come to the critiques, because at least someone's looking at your work. She's like, oh, she came to the critiques, led to the classes. The classes led to her growing. Now she's being a resident in a gallery in Spain, and she moved there. Mm-hmm. And this is a woman who never thought she was going to have a career in photography her whole life until she was late in life.
Yeah.
And hearing her, I love her as an example, because that's exactly what we were trying to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's something to the fact that because we work under the umbrella of a retailer, I kind of look at it like, no, we're helping you make better decisions so that you could have gear that has resale value, or you buy it only once, or you're buying less than you thought you needed, or, you know, we just have an outlet to send them to. And to Adorama's credit, they never once ever said to us, push this, you need to sell this many of this, we need a quota on that. They were just like,
that's right,
keep shooting, keep getting people amped.
Yeah, and that was really important, because part of what I did before even the event space was created what we were calling Adorama Pro, or the Pro Department.
Right, right, yeah, the Pro Department.
And,
right.
And basically, it was about that. Like, it was about, let's bring in people that are in the industry that can help people to come in. Right. And my insistence on when I did that was, nobody gets a bonus, a commission, anything. And they were totally fine with that, because they were like, yeah, this is about education. This is about building a community, because people will buy stuff. You're here. You right. want a camera. You walked into a camera store. Why not talk to somebody who's not trying to push it on
right.
you? And I think that's really one of the things that, even though, like you say, we run an umbrella of a retailer, we're not there to sell stuff to you. Not we're there to show you how to make the best possible images you can make, that you want to make. And that's really what we're there for.
But our point of action is trust, right?
Yeah.
Most of the reason I shoot, I don't know about you, but most of the reason I shoot live is to be like, mm-hmm. no, I'm not just giving you some processed stuff that came went out there. You're looking at me.
Also
one of the, remember the yeah. one of the demos I did a million in the old event space was a shutter drag demo, and it ended up being a 2-page spread in Rangefinder. Meanwhile, every time we shoot demos, we're like, we're probably going to delete these photos. But we're not playing games, and I want them to see that what we're doing, and then when we say this is going to happen if we do this, and it happens, I got their trust. We're not trying to be popular, because we're not working on it. But we're not out there selling presets. We're not out there trying to grow numbers. We're out there. I think you're on the same boat. Mm-hmm. Street cred is everything to me.
Yeah.
Everything. I will not break a reputation I spent my entire life to build for something stupid. Mm-hmm. And I may take this way too seriously, but we've both sacrificed a lot in our lives, and we've both put a lot of ourselves into it. Any creative that's trying to make a living does that at some point.
Yeah.
You sell something off that you love to get that thing. You sacrificed your time to do that thing. You got that extra job so that you can get that thing. It's never ending, and you wait for this payoff. And sometimes the payoff is just someone come up to you and be like, I really believe in what you're saying, and I trust your opinion. I trust you. It's like that. I don't take light.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't take light.
No,
well, that's how you sell. No, like, and trust. You're building all of those things by performing for people live. And you were talking about not having to buy as much gear if they know how to use it. Right. Does that go back to the center of what you're doing when you're doing your live shows?
Well, yeah. You say if you use more lights, you get paid
more. Right, you do get paid more if you use more.
That's a rule.
Well, no, I think that the thing is this, right? When somebody would come to me, and if I'm mentoring somebody, or they're, you know, they want advice, and they're like, I have $5,000 to spend, and I'm doing this kind of work. And we sit there and talk, and in the end, it's $3,500, and they go, oh, well, I have $1,500. What else can I spend? I say, none.
Yeah.
Because you have what you need. The day that you walk in and you buy, I'm going to buy a beauty dish, I want to buy a strip bank, I'm going to buy a softbox, I'm going to buy an umbrella, and you don't know how to use any of it, you're wasting your money. Because what if you never want to develop a style that uses those things?
Yeah.
Learn with what you got. You'll find a point that you can't do the shot you want to do. Then you learn why. Why doesn't this lighting idea work for me? Then you can buy the right thing.
Or you can fudge. You once you learn principles, you can fudge anything to do anything. But then if it comes down to, well, if I buy the correct thing, I shave 20 minutes of setup, then I'm shooting more clients. Or, you know, when we do high pressure commercial jobs, you get 5 minutes to shoot sometimes. So you got to do like 100 of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Then that's when that's worth money. That's when it's worth it to you. Or if they come to you and say, I have $1,500 left over my budget. What should I do with it? I tell them, save. What happens if that camera goes down?
Right.
What happens if something as amazing as this stuff is, nothing's infallible. There's defects all over the place. Yep. And or sometimes I tell them to buy a backup of something just to be like, you know, if you're serious, there is no excuse. We always say pros deliver.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right. Yeah.
There's no excuse. They're putting me in there so that it just gets done. And I think we take pride in that, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's why.
Question mark, do we take pride in that?
Sometimes we're such jokes. I don't know what we take serious anymore. I don't know.
Well, I think that is the thing, right? There are certain projects that if they hire some photographer, let's say it's not experienced or whatever, right, and they mess it up, they didn't lose a lot, right? The process of just cranking it out, right? They're just hiring guys by the day. But when they have you come in to do a job and there's a set to be built, there's a location to be rented, they flew people in, you know, then it has to happen. And that's what makes a pro. Yeah. And they'd be able to do it. And in order to be able to always get it done, you have to understand the fundamentals. And that's really it. That's why we always go back to it. You know, people ask me, like, you know, you do so many demos, like, how do you come up with ideas? And I'm just like, I just retitle the same demo because every demo is the same.
No, but the truth,
the demo is always the same. The demo is, I'm here in front of an audience. I'm teaching you how to make an amazing image. Uh-huh. That's the demo. What is the image of? I don't know, a cup. It's a model. It's this. It's that. It doesn't matter. The demo is that. The demo is teaching you how to understand light, and light is the same. As Seth though says, light is predictable, right? Mm-hmm. If I take a big softbox, I put it close to this cup, it's the same thing that happens when I put it close to your face. Mm-hmm. And as soon as people understand that, it really opens up their eyes to what they can do. When I was, when I had my first encounter in Miami and realized I had to photo assist, one thing I did not do was only assist fashion photographers. I shot a lot of fat. I wanted to be a fashion photographer. I was a fashion photographer for many years.
Yeah.
But what I didn't do was that because, first of all, I was broke. And I was like, I need to like do stuff. I work for food guys, product guys, wedding photographers, everybody. And what I learned was that's a really good thing to do because you learn so many different techniques. You understand why you might want to do different things. You know, why light is the same, but how you use it is different depending on what you're shooting, you know. And I think that's super important. I think that having a focus when you're going out there commercially is important, but learning lots of different areas will really strengthen you overall.
Yeah, I assisted a lot of product guys when I thought it was the most boring thing on earth, but it led me to, one, being able to always pay my studio rent because people could ship me product. I could shoot it overnight. I didn't have to worry about call times, nothing. Yeah. Honestly, it was awesome. I just played like hardcore and like ate all the whole time and just like walked. You came in one time. But the other thing it taught me was, and this sounds crazy, but I spent the last decade and a half in the special effects industry shooting zombies, creatures, aliens. That's not skin. That's product. Mm. That's latex. That's paint. That's gleaming stuff. That's sticky stuff. It just happens to have the emotion of something underneath it. So to be able to mix the portrait with what I learned from shooting surfaces and substrates,
sure.
I was able to make a standout career. Like I was able to separate myself. It wasn't just pretty girls and pretty dresses and pretty rooms. No offense. I don't know. Whatever. How much pretty stuff do we need? It's hard to make grimy stuff make people want to look at grimy stuff hard to look at stuff enticing for you to be part of. And that's what I learned from assisting everyone else that was in portraits.
Right.
And to be able to combine that, like it hit me so hard at once. And I think that's why I took off in that career because everyone just thought, oh, it's horror. Here's the light from underneath. Yay.
Well,
it's like, no.
Well, right. And as you mentioned, like pretty girls, I was a fashion photographer. People would be like, oh, I can just put a strobe and a thing on the beach and I'm shooting fashion. And you'll realize that that's cool for a YouTube video, but that's not the real industry. And people that are in the industry will understand that you're not there because you don't actually fully understand it. And that's it. Like Seth understands horror. That's why in the special effects, you see in the way he lights, there's stories going through his head and he'll say it. And that's what you need. And when I'm shooting fashion, there's a story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just about a pretty image of a thing. It's about the story
substance
of the thing. And that's what elevates the work. And that's something that you bring to it, right? So we can teach you as much as you want about putting the softbox here over and over again. But the demo is different because it's the story that's going on. And that's what we're pushing.
And we can't teach taste levels.
Right.
We can't teach perspective. We can't teach point of view or style. Like, you really have to own it. But I think the hardest part for people is to understand who they even are as a creator.
Right.
To even know what they're trying to say. I mean, we just did that demo and I was just like, some of these people just got so caught up in the light. Like, no, you're shooting here. This is all right.
Right.
You're shooting here.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what is the light doing with what you're trying? Don't forget about what you're shooting with. Understand what you're shooting. And the first thing you got to ask yourself when you're going to go approach something is, what is the shot? Is it her makeup? Is it her? Is it a scene? Is it a portrait? Is it a reality? Is it a fantasy? What are we trying to shoot here? Because you're gonna, it's all a language. And what's the point of just talking out a million sides of your mouth when no one's going to understand it? And we're in an era where people are swiping in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. All this money, all this time goes into it just to swipe away.
Yeah.
You want them to have something to bite their eye into. You want them to start remembering it. You want them to wait to see your next image because you don't have just someone who saw your work. You have an audience.
That's right. And what's interesting, too, about that, is I noticed in your demo, when you're talking about people looking at the light, is that Seth's constantly in communication with the model, as I am when we're working. And that's one thing that you can learn by watching somebody do it live.
Right.
That you don't learn in a video where they just go, it's a finished picture. Like, you can see how you should be. Like, none of this pose book from 1975, put your hand here, turn this. I know people love that stuff, but the reality is every single person you shoot is different.
Yeah.
That exact pose in that magazine is not going to work on that person. How do you make it work the best you can? How do you make that light work? When somebody comes to you and goes, here's a shot from magazine, make me look like this, and they don't look like that, right? What you want to do is get inside their head to see what they're really after and create the best possible image of them that you can. And in order to do that, you have to, I always say, if you're a people photographer, you got to be a people person. That's the first part. Well, big flat light will be fine if you can get an amazing emotion.
Yeah, but don't you think we always know that we're setting an example? Like, we have to do proper safety.
Yeah.
People have to pick up, and not only pick up the details, but like subconsciously absorb it. Like, oh, the sandbag goes on the tall, like, got it.
Yep.
But I take that real seriously because I don't want anybody watching myself. But I also, don't you think there's also something like they watch us because they just want to stay in the headspace of shooting?
Yeah.
Just so that if they're not out there doing it every day, just to stay in the language, in the mode, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I sometimes when I have a dead season, I'll watch guys that I respect. Like, I love watching Ab Cisse, of course, Joe, and everybody else that, like, you know, I like listening to David Bergman all the time. But I also feel very privileged that we are around people of this level that I consider colleagues, but they're not inaccessible. You can type their name in and stay in their headspace and pick up because you'll find videos, man.
Yeah, well, you guys are in New York. For the rest of the planet that's not New York, they get to be in New York by watching you.
There's nobody else but New York.
By being there to see you. Like, that's their chance to get close to how you work and how you think.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're steering the conversation and towards believing in yourself and, like, having something to say.
Yeah.
That it's not just technical expertise, which they learn from watching you, but also, like, watching you think out loud and direct helps them find their own confidence. Is that true?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that's it. When you see somebody, that's why, I mean, I was fortunate that I didn't immediately start getting jobs shooting models I thought I was going to do from reading the book.
Right.
I worked with photographers. I saw how they did things. I saw they worked with clients, how they set up shoots, how they dealt with problems, how they worked with models.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I learned, and I think that's what people can kind of learn. And that's why we like the live version, you know, because again, I am not afraid that somebody watching my video is going to say, oh, well, now I know how to do Daniel's lighting, so I can take all his clients.
Yeah.
If I thought that, then I shouldn't be shooting. It's like, you can know everything I teach you, and I still have my clients because I still have me.
Yeah.
And you have you, right? That's basically it. Everybody has their own personality that they bring to the table, and that's really what you're selling. What you get in even if you're shooting product, it's not always just about shooting a person. There's guys, they're just amazing product photographers. I look at them, it's like,
they're psychos,
wow.
Though. They're all psychos.
They're all crazy.
They're all psychos.
I used to share a studio with a guy, and I swear to God, he would spend 3 days building a set.
It's amazing.
Shooting Polaroids, because this is back before digital, and then be like, nah, and take it down. I'm like, just shoot a roll of film. But he's like, no, it's not perfect.
No. When you get a real hardcore product guy to shoot a portrait,
He's using like fingers.
Like little tiny dots. And I'm like, bro, she's going to fall asleep. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. But it's also amazing to see their attention to the detail of the light.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, actually, it's too clean, man. I actually don't believe this image anymore. And beautiful.
Right.
Thank you. But I don't know, man. And I think we're also dealing with a world that they don't know where they even want to go because they look at images, and I'm not trying to throw shade. I don't care what look at. They're not trying to throw shade, but they'll walk through here, see giant posters of over-retouched painter things that aren't even photos anymore and go, is that what I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
Is that the shot I'm supposed to strive for? And that's dangerous.
Yeah,
they're not even getting a chance to get their perspective or style because they think that's the end goal because it's shoved in their face nonstop. What I like that what we do is every time we shoot live, someone goes, what preset are you using? We're not. This is just light. Yeah. Oh, well, how did you, are you retouching something in? No, this isn't a real-time retouching. We're just lighting to not have crazy texture in the skin. Like, we've been through it, bro. One demo I did before we built the new event space, I shot my own mother, right? I said, it sounds so bad.
It's okay.
But I said, I got her a makeup artist to make her feel better because she's going to be in front of a crowd, but I wanted to see every wrinkle I put on that woman's face, but I didn't want to make her look bad. I just wanted her to look like my mother so that when I see this image, I know what my mom looked like. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to strive for putting out work that they're not going to even know what their grandparents looked like, or at some point it's going to look like, what did humans look like? I mean, I fear that, and that's why I think the shooting live is another step to being important. Yeah. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I think you both get all bent out of shape if it's scripted, and we're like, just give me the thing, turn that on, and let's go. I do everything in one take. I don't care what happens, because I'm going to be on the next thing. And if I can't be authentic, then when you see me in person, what the hell am I? I gotta be.
We gotta be.
Well, you know, on that note, I mean, I think it's super important because one thing that we have is that every person that comes in front of your camera is going to say, "Oh, I have wrinkles," or "My face is like this," or "I don't like this." And your job as a people photographer, a portrait photographer, is to let them understand that they're beautiful the way they are.
Yeah.
Right. And not like remember I went off on that one guy because he was like, "What do you do if somebody has a fat face?" And I was like, "What?"
Oh, no, he wouldn't stop. He's like, what about a double chin? What about a big nose? Like, who are you around, first of all?
Right. It's like, here's this person in front of you. They're basically opening themselves up, right? It's very scary for a lot of people to be that open and be photographed. You have to look at them and find something about them that you find, because everybody has something, right, that makes them a beautiful person, and capture that. And if it's wrinkles, if it's scars, if it's everything else, that's awesome. Let them understand it's okay, and they don't need to be completely retouched. But learn that first.
That's a portrait photographer, though. Yeah. A lot of people think portrait photographers are like, just make them look beautiful. It's like, listen, you got to make them look like that person so that they portray that person. I don't know, a portrait portrays the person. Crazy, right? And how about the fact that when I see that person in real life, I almost feel like I've already met them. Yeah. That's a portrait photographer. Not this, let's smooth out all this, put a bunch of Vaseline on, clear the eyes. Did you know that women don't have pores anymore? Apparently, I didn't know. I didn't get this memo. Yeah. There's no pores or blood vessels anymore. I didn't know this. I didn't know we evolved. But if you get them to a place where they're the best version of themselves and they still feel like that's the human that they're, that's why headshots for actors are so important. Right. You give them the best version of themselves, but they have to look like that person that headshot when they walk in the room. Right. Otherwise, they are not getting that gig. Portraits. You want to feel like that person. The best portraits you've ever seen are the ones that, no matter how famous they are, you feel like right away you can recognize them, you can feel them, you can feel where they're at in their life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they pass away, you go, I feel like I knew that person. You know? Portraits are so connective, and I think a lot of new photographers, or even just ones that never hit a style, never get that. If you ask any high-end portrait photographer, they say, oh, the lighting's secondary.
Yep.
The lighting, I don't care if it's a beauty dish or whatever. That's light. I just need this to happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So. No, and that's really interesting, because one of the things that I thought was really funny was I used to shoot for a lot of agencies in New York, and they would call me and they'd be like, we love when you shoot new models because they look like they look in your pictures. And I thought, well, that's a weird compliment. But then I'd look at other people's shots and I'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, what are they doing here? Like, this is what the person looks like. And as a model or an actor, you're trying to sell what you look like, you know, what you're capable of. But as a new model with the fresh shots, that's what you're trying to sell. Yeah. Right. And that's what I decided to master, because it's what I like. I want to bring out what's true in a person when I photograph something. I don't want to create something fake. You know, unless that's what I'm doing. Obviously, sometimes that's what the shot is.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, I think the position both you and me fell into the porch is like, it's always different.
Yeah.
And then you kind of pull up this person had this type of skin, this type of that, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you develop these skill cards, like a Rolodex. And so when the next person comes in, like, got this, like that. It's what I do with the special effects. I'm like, well, it's not a cartoony zombie. It's more of a Walking Dead zombie. So I'm going to go this way so it's warm tone. Well, that alien is definitely from an aquatic planet, so I'm going to need to make it look shiny, so we're going to go with something specular highlights. I pull out that card.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, it's an old age makeup. Well, I don't want to make it look like it's ridiculous old age on a young person. I don't want to see seams, so I'm going to go with a softer light, but then I'm going to pull that light so that I still have gradation, but I'm going to pull out texture. And that way, we're still going to see the wrinkles they put in, but we're not going to see the fall point of the edge of the prosthetic. Done. That's that card. And we just keep on pulling those cards out. And I think that's the fun part, is we're kind of playing a card game the whole time. I see, you know.
You know where to start, right? That's your starting point, right? You've got all these, like, spaces you can start from. And that's where practicing, testing, shooting your, everything else, getting a feel. So when somebody sits in front of you, you're not just starting from scratch, right? You have an idea of what it'll look like. And then you sculpt around the person. You work it depending on what they're doing. And that's really the key.
But this doesn't, like, stop at any level. Just to give you an idea, like, Joe McNally came to imaging a day early. And he was like, Seth, I haven't shot in, like, not kidding. He was like, 2 weeks. I'm like, what? And he's like, I don't want to get rusty in front of this class. Let's get a studio space for a few hours. Let's bang out a couple looks because I want to show them shots I did yesterday, not from the 70s. And he was very adamant about it. But he, too, even after traveling the world for decades, 70 countries this guy's gone to, and he still didn't feel like he was ready to do a demo for people because he hasn't worked out in a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Joe, you're a psycho. I love you, but you're a psycho, man. And I think it's amazing to have people around you that you constantly learn from. And I learned forever, always be around people that are better than you because you're going to get complacent, always strive. That's and fair. Me and him, we've shared a studio in Manhattan, and I think we both batted things off each other. I mean, remember when you hated that soft scoop thing, and then I was like, a guy, he's like, oh, I'm going to, and then it seems using with it. Anyway, just being in an environment can be enough to keep you going and get you to a place that you didn't even know you existed from. Like, if you look at wherever we were when we first met, I mean, whatever we were shooting was not where we are now, especially the technology change, but whatever. You have to be around people that make you want to shoot. You have to be around people that stop making it feel like work or that you can't or that you're on the wrong path or someone that you can just bounce off of as a soundboard and not in your own skull bouncing around in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is not have someone look at your work. You need more than your own eyes if you're going to have a vision. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, no, no.
That's a good
and you're absolutely right. And that helps kind of going back to what you said at the beginning about, I don't know if that was before we started recording. I guess you'll add it back in.
You are recording, right?
About,
like, we're not
I think we started recording.
How about it not like feeling like work? Now, that, of course, it does feel like work. We we work hard. But at the same time, this is our life. When you're a photographer, your job is not being a photographer.
Yeah.
You are a photographer. That's what you
God
do.
Damn, that's good, dude.
It's just in you. You know, you're always a photographer. And the more people you're around, the more you kind of embrace that. You're around people like you, you know, your clan or whatever, right? Everybody here is a photographer and we're all going for the same thing so we can learn from anybody. Somebody who's brand new could teach me something very easily, you know? And but sometimes somebody will say that, there'll be a demo and they'll be like, what if you do this? And I'll be like,
I don't know.
Let's try it, you know? Yeah. And to not be afraid of that at any level, to just try stuff and know that, you know, going back to the Joe McNally thing where he's like, you're going to see some bad pictures today because I'm going to shoot through this and show you the steps. That's what we're all going to do, right? We're all going to work our way up to create that image that we're super proud of. That is the handful of images that really defined us.
Yeah, but I think that confidence to fall in front of people comes from having so much succession that they respect you for.
Well,
that they're like, I'll let you off on this one. It was a rough shot. And then you figure it out and get to the end and you're okay. As long as you get to an end result, that's worthwhile. But I think a lot of people, especially if they're going to start teaching or doing what we're doing here, they have to have a track record of being able to pull off things, not by luck because they wanted to. And then you can fall and fail. It's hard to have confidence. I just don't care, man. I don't care about nothing. When have you ever seen me nervous about anything? Like, I don't care. What's going to happen? Oh, I'll wake up tomorrow? Like, what? What's going to happen? I'll find someone else that wants to shoot. It's okay, you know? But
no,
respect is everything, and I think that's one thing me and Dan have always had, even though we totally destroy each other. But I love that. I feel very fortunate that I got a guy at Dan's level as a colleague, and I hope people can find that. And I think that's what this show does, is that every class I have, I think you run into people that feel so isolated that they don't even know if they're doing things the right track. And it's so sad and dangerous sometimes. So we both started Discord servers so that people could have a 24/7 place to talk, share work. And I think that's what our live streams are. Every time we start, it's like, hey, from Norway, from this. And it's like the same people. We know exactly what they shoot and what they shoot with. And I hope that people get that from here somehow. I don't know if there's a way for them to stay in touch after the shows or if they exchange, but the faces change when they hit that floor. Yeah. The faces go from walking in there like this to when they're at a demo like this. And then I'm like, yeah, you're, what's now? What, you know, it's like, you know, they're just in it. And I think our job is to guide them to a place where they stick with it, don't have fear from it, and don't feel like they need to go broke, feel like they're embarrassed about anything, and just go forward and get better a little bit each time and incrementally to a place where they enjoy it. Crazy idea, right?
Yeah.
You just like it and don't feel judgment. Crazy idea. Just go shoot what you want. Who cares? That guy doesn't have the right answer either. Trust me. Forget about it.
Yeah, no, that is 100% true. And you have to find your own vision. And you have to stick to it. Like you have to know that you're right.
You have to be
confident and there's a certain confidence in it. Just talking to somebody the other day who, you know, was a photographer for a long time, and they said, you know, I didn't have a backup plan. And I remember that my dad said, oh, you know, go to business school so you have a backup plan. And I said, I'm not going to do that. Because if I have a backup plan, I won't be a photographer. Because it's not easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. But I am a photographer. It's in me. I know that I will make this my life somehow. And that's how I did it, you know, and that's it. You know, you go through ups and downs, but you got to be confident. You have to know this is for you. Whether you're doing it on the weekends, you know, as a part-time thing, or you just love doing photography, you've got to make the sacrifices. You got to put the work in, but you should love doing it. You should love the sweat, like when you're working. When Seth's out there killing himself, I know he's loving it, you know, even though he's like, I'm dying over here. It's like, I know that he loves that. Right? Because when you see that person in the audience, all of a sudden they're just like, whoa. You know, because again, they're walking around this trade show and there's beautiful booths with all this cool technology. And it's like, I want to buy this camera. I want to buy this camera. But when they see somebody actually stand there in front of them where they can see the model, they can see the photographer 5 feet away from them creating a shot right there, that's something completely different. It's a different world.
I don't think it's that. We both sweat up there. Like, it's tough.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that I think that's huge.
No,
like if I walk by a booth and somebody show me a PowerPoint or they're fully processed images, doesn't inspire me the way that seeing Seth or me or whoever is just doing it.
No, but don't you think that sometimes we're killing ourselves live because what was it all for if not to prove we can do it right now?
Well, yeah, of course.
And also, I think, I don't know how you think of it, but sometimes I'm always like, all right, it's time to test myself again.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, it's not for them every time. Sometimes I'm, like, the demo I'm doing here, I did for the first time in Louisville, and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen on this one. And even a guy came up to me today. He's like, you said you were going to do this in that demo. And I thought, man, this is going to be a mess, but it was awesome. I'm like, cool. Cause I said it to a bunch of people and they all thought it was going to be a mess too. And, you know, and a lot of stuff that I was going to fall back on plan B, he knew about. And he's like, you didn't even need to do that. That was great. But you had a killer demo also. I mean, we were on fire. Last year was sick. And like you, me and Joe were just like shredding. I think we all were like, we had dinner that night. We're just like, for us too, even though they think like we just get up there, go home, and it's like whatever, like we were at dinner, like sweating, hunched over, and we're like, yeah, but like we just nailed it. Like we just destroyed. Like we made an impact. Like I die tomorrow, someone remembers. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, legacy is everything, and nothing's gonna last forever, but everything we do can, everything that we put out there can. And in a world where there's images nonstop, you can get to a place where your images infect someone's brain to a point where they do something else that emulates it, that starts out and you start a new trend. It's just like, man, you know, sometimes I see people emulating something we do and I'm like, they're ripping us off. And then I'm like, you know what? No, like, I was in that dude's brain.
Yeah.
Like, that's sick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that 100%. I love that. You know, it's like, and again, I think the longer you do this, the more you're okay with it.
Yeah,
I think when I was younger and I was like trying to make my way and I would
don't
do something
steal my
and it'd be in some like magazine and then all of a sudden I'd see somebody else. I'm like, did they just do what I did? You know, it's like, but yeah, of course they did because everybody's trying to move forward. But I did it first, you know, and even that means that I'm making a difference, right? I'm spreading my vision
and
is becoming
new.
Right.
And nothing's new. Get
yeah,
over
my
your
favorite
ego.
My favorite thing get about over. That was so this is like I know everybody loves to go out there now with their digital cameras and their big old Octomom and make the sky dark. Well, when I was like 20 and I was living in Miami and I'm shooting, I took a Norman 400B.
Yeah, did you get electrocuted from that thing? Yeah, you did.
And I shot a model and the sky was dark blue and I went to show one of the photographers I worked for that was a fashion photographer. And I look at this shot and he looked at me and he went, oh yeah, so you used a flash outside. I did that in 1975. You know, it was like, wow, okay, so nothing is new.
Nothing.
He's like, yeah, I had to run extension cords 200 feet to the beach, but I still did it outside.
Yeah, I think it's important to check the ego, and I think it's easier for photographers to get egos really quick. It's like, because they think they're in an ocean of other people, and it's like, cool, bro, we're all doing this. Like, shut up and have some, you know, humility about it, because in the end, you're not doing anything special, but you can be consistent at a level, and that is important.
Well, and it's building your own legacy, but it's also, you can get the legacy for your client. If you get the image of the person that really expresses their personality, they live forever.
That's true.
So it's not just what we're doing and how we express ourselves with our confidence. If you do the right thing for the right person at the right time, that might be the shot that defines them to their family.
Well, I mean, your wife's a photographer. You probably see these people all the time like, oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's, and they're civilians. We call them civilians, but they're not in the game. They're civilians. So it's like they don't even understand what images could be.
Yeah.
And they don't even understand how much work went into that, probably that shot.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, civilians are – it's our job to take away the fan. How many times have you gotten reference images like, that isn't even a photo anymore?
Yep, not even a photo.
We're not doing that. Yep. Or it's so retouched or it's CGI or it now – oh, that's AI. Like,
oh,
what
do
you,
boy.
She's got seven fingers. What are
but
you doing?
You can't see that.
You know, we're not doing
this. Special effects.
Well, this, you know what's funny is when the special effects kids go through me, can we do something like this? I'm like, that's my image. Where'd you get that? Oh, Pinterest. Like, where's my images on Pinterest? You know, but it's really cool that you're at a level that has inspired someone to want to find a way to have that in part of their world or their life or whatever. And, you know, I think when you have someone that's used to being photographed, it's not special to anyone because they'll be on the next one and the next one.
Right.
But when you get those people that this image is their 15 minutes of fame for their family, for whatever they're doing, or sometimes you get corporate headshot jobs and they either hate it or that's their shot for like the rest of their life because they're never sitting
again.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to treat every shot like it's worth it. There's plenty of times I know that you and me both have gone to jobs and we're like, it's whatever. It's a junk, like throwaway job. It's like, you don't know. You don't know where it's going to end up. I shot a job for IKEA that ended up being a billboard that paid me. It was good. And I didn't think it was going to be something like that. I thought I was going to be painting sets and doing, you know, being second shooter. But you really don't know. And what we do now, our images can help get people jobs, can help further what they're doing. You know, they need to be, you know, perception is everything. And then we're the filter of that person's perception to the rest of the world. We are setting a tone for whatever there are to this world. It sounds like it's, you know, I'm really making a lot out of it. Watch the next time you shoot someone that's not used to being shot, how long they use that image for everything. Their avatar on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on everything. You know, we hold a responsibility, whether you like it or not, you know. So I try not to take it lightly, and I try not to take that we're public lightly, and I want to make examples of where things could be. I'll go broke. I won't sell you presets. I don't got merch. I don't care, but I just want to leave this industry better than when I came into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're both demonstrating that by doing it live, by not hiding your secrets, by starting with a blank image and stacking it and showing how it's done, by publicly failing and flying without a net.
No, he failed. I failed.
I'm better. You don't fail. He fails.
Yeah, so it's okay.
But we're learning along with you, which is important.
My worst failures are better than, you know.
Oh, right.
No, I think it's really interesting you said that, though, because some of my favorite images of people when I make a portrait is when they initially don't like it. Because there's something about it where they had a perception of themselves,
it's honest,
where they think it should look a certain way, and then they feel comfortable if they let you push it to a different direction. They're like, oh no, you can see my scar, or you can do whatever, and then later on, they look at it and then you see them using it, and you're just like, oh, they're like yeah, that's like my favorite.
When I shot Marissa, which is one of our models that we use so much, and she's a doll, and I love her, but everyone shoots her to be extremely beautiful because she is bright blue eyes, fire red hair, amazing.
It is.
But then when I had her at the studio one night, I said, first of all, I'm taking away the color because I don't want the bright blue eyes and the red hair, and she has a scar on her forehead, and I lit her with no makeup, just like, this is the Marissa that I think is beautiful. Like, she's so gorgeous without all that, without all the extra glow lighting. She hated those images. And remember that?
Yeah.
And then almost a year later, she wrote me like, can I get the high-res version of those? Because I actually really, really appreciate them. Because she went through a year of being shot by a bunch of yayos that were making her glow and smoothed out. And she's like, yeah, that's the Marissa I put out there as an actress and everything. But I think once she realized what images could be, and she's been shot for, gotta be what, 10, gotta be 15 years she's been shooting now. And she moved on to become a filmmaker and everything now. Like, it's really cool to watch what happens with these people. But it's a special moment when they come to the same center you are at, but it's also special that they trusted you to shoot how you wanted to shoot, even if they're not gonna like it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's tough. You can't be in the same place with your subject all the time. You just can't.
Yeah, 100%. I had this one actor that I was shooting in like a shot. Whenever I'm shooting an actor, I always do. In the beginning, I go, I'm just going to shoot a bunch of pictures in different areas just to see like how light falls on you. And there was one angle that was clearly the angle that I thought, this is you. And she was like, I hate that. Like, with the pat, she's like, I hate that. And I'm like, let me just shoot some. So then later on, she ended up using them, and they got her all kinds of work. And she called me back. She's like, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like that angle because it reminded me I look like my aunt or something like that, and I didn't really like her because we had a bad relationship. And it was like, there's so much psychology that goes into this. It's like, it's not that you didn't think you look good, so you look like somebody who you didn't like. But once you were willing to let that go, this image is actually the better image of you. And you actually broke past this idea that I have to look like this because I watched that video about how to make a good selfie and I'm holding my phone. And, you know, it's like, let the photographer help you kind of be free and be yourself. You know, don't fall behind all this, you know, retouching and what you think people should make it look like. You know,
we're also fighting cell phones right now.
Well, yes, that's also true.
All these people that come to us at a certain generation for shots, they're used to a wide-ish angle look with a long arm, face filters, skin tones that make no sense to me.
Right.
And to that, like Rankin did a really cool project where he took girls 15 to 17 and he shot them in the same flat light against the wall and said, here, Photoshop them till you feel comfortable posting them. And they all end up looking like aliens. Mm-hmm. There's a dysmorphia going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to add to that.
Right.
And I don't want people to start thinking they need to always be retouched and need Photoshop. Yes, if there's a commercial client, I'll hand them, like, knock yourself out. Give me my check. Shut up. I'm out. I'm out.
Right.
Don't credit me, but I'm out.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you come to me for a real portrait, that's the hardest part. You can learn all the lighting you want in the world, but the hardest thing you're going to learn is when and why. When to use this. Why am I doing this? Why am I going that route? And you've also got to trust that you are getting to an end result that is your end result. And people could take decades to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to make a lot of wrong turns. And they're going to look at work from like 20 years ago. Man, what was I thinking?
Oh, I know.
I thought this was amazing. And it's like, well, I'm glad you're there now. Don't stop.
Let's feel that way? Do you look back on your work and think, what was I thinking?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Well, you know, it's really funny because of my kind of background in fashion, my earlier work to me was very disposable because fashion is in the moment, right? And when I look at it, I thought of it as I'm shooting this now for a catalog or a magazine, and in 6 months, nobody cares about this. So it's interesting to look back and just see, like, how styles change. Uh-huh. But then there is a certain point where I hit it, and I'm just like, okay, here's where it began. You know, here's where it truly began, where I was being myself always true to it, and it doesn't matter what the image is.
Yeah.
You know, and then those images are the ones that stick with me. But some of the ones where I was, like, fighting my way through, especially early retouching, don't ask me.
Well, he was using an actual airbrush in those days. He was
Do you remember when Photoshop, and you could only go back, like, 4 or something like that?
They didn't even have many. Yeah,
when they first added
There was no memory to do it with, so, yeah.
So you'd have to keep saving. You'd do one change, and you'd save. And then you go back and you're like, I don't know if I like this. So you'd save a second version of it a different way. And you'd be like, oh, Photoshop was terrible.
Well, I kind of look at my old work like video games. Like, there's all these, like, classic, amazing, legendary video games. You go back to them, like, what was I thinking? Yeah. This looks horrible now. But back then, that was the next graphics. You're like, this is amazing.
Yep.
And I look back at my old work, I was like, what was I thinking? And then it always comes down to the same reason. I go, I was missing the elegance.
Yep.
I was missing that next, what refines this to make it really lit right, actually shot. I got it to good enough. I didn't know where it could go. Mm-hmm. And was it you or Joe that always says, like, when you think you got it, keep going?
Yeah. That's
I didn't do that back then.
Yeah, that's
I was like, all right, look how fast I am.
Yeah.
Hire me. Here's my card. You know, and it's like, now it's like, I'm not getting, no one's getting cards from me anymore. I'm just kind of like, look, here's my stuff. If you want me to do it, let's do it. But and that's also important, is to put out the work that you want to be hired for. So even if you shot really amazing school portraits, if you don't want to be hired for school portraits, don't put that out there as, like, what you do, you know? Yeah.
Right. No, so, that's good advice, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how many people hand you cards, and you're like, I don't really, yeah, but I don't actually shoot that. I actually, like, what are you doing, man? Find yourself.
Yeah.
Identify yourself. It's just, it's tough. It's a creative world that has no right answer. And you're hoping there's people out there that want what you're putting out there as a creative. And there is no right answer. And you're also going to civilians that don't know what that answer is either.
No.
But they think because they went to you, magic will happen. Just magic.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that because I got advice from an art director early on in catalogs. Because I went, you know, because I want to shoot with a catalog photographer because that's where the money is. And so I had all this cool fashion stuff that I shot. But then I went and shot stuff that looks like it should be in a catalog. You know, silk overhead with a long lens. And I showed them, like, look at this portfolio. I want to get catalog work. And they were like, nobody will hire you with that. And I'm like, but this is the catalog. It's like, yeah, we assume a photographer can do that. That's basic work. We want to see your style. We'll never use your style, but maybe there'll be a time where we need to shoot a cover and we want something interesting.
Sure.
But artists want to work with artists. What you're doing there is just showing me what everybody else does.
Right.
So, like, my book became weird, funky fashion stuff. that didn't look anything like a catalog, and that's how I got work.
They want your take.
Yeah.
They're going, they can go to anybody, and they can go to an agency, throw a ball, and go, like, I need this look. Whack. Get a pro that can deliver that. But right. if they're coming to you, what's your take on this?
Yep.
Just like, what's your opinion? Just like, what's your review on this camera? All that stuff, you know?
And I think you're doing it right.
The audio guy probably loves
it. He loves that. I think you're doing it right, though, when not everybody likes you.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
No, like, you're telling yourself that.
Look, I think see, like when you start actually having like people that don't like your work, and then some people that, now if everybody doesn't like your work, maybe you're doing something wrong. But you know, if you've got a base of people that like you, and then some people are just like, oh God, that guy's terrible. That's where you want to be. Because now that means you're making a statement. You're an individual, right. and not everybody's going to like you. If you try to sit in the middle where everybody likes you, you're boring, and you won't ever break that next level and be stand out, really.
Yeah.
You'll just get the jobs that they throw a ball against the wall, and they take the guy, right?
And then people chase technical so easily because there's always a definitive answer to that. Like, getting rid of the shadow, making this type of light, there's a definitive answer to that. And then it gets boring. And there's people that do like really beautiful work that's at a high tech level, and they consistently put out the type of work that does stand out. But at some point, I don't care what you're doing, stale will hit. You're going to get stale, and people are not going to connect because they've seen it. They've seen it.
Yep.
I mean, I love pizza. I can't eat pizza every day, right? You get taxed, right? So I'm like, I hope people don't get complacent. I'm guilty of that myself. How many times have I done the cold rim lights with the bada bing? Yeah. I hope people really keep testing themselves, and I keep on bringing this back to this, but I think that's what the live shoots do for us personally is, hell, we're demoing. So it could be a test shoot for us. There's a lot of times we're doing a test as a demo, and they don't have no clue.
Right.
Bunch of suckers, right?
As long as that training there, finally.
Well, in both ways, we came back to your own point of view and your own identity. We've now come there twice in the point of the conversation, that it's really about what do you have to say and developing your skill so you can say what you have to say rather than copying someone else. And when we watch the show, we learn the technique. I loved the conversation today, guys. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we just rambled.
Anytime.
You just rambled. You know that,
Well,
right?
They're just going to cut your part out.
That's why I'm on the end. I was like, just put me on the end. So that
his mic's not even turned on.
I know. I feel like I'm in a rubber room, and this isn't even really happening right now. It's all right, though. But I do hope that people know that there's always a place for them in our live streams, in our live chats. If you can't make it to New York, you can always be in our chat. And that's what it's there for. And if you can't catch us live, you can always watch them on playback. There's stuff from Dan when he had hair. So,
yeah, it's true. Yeah,
you can go watch that. But
I did have hair.
I just want to say thanks to everyone that makes a community, because we can't do what we do unless you guys are there for us as well. So it's a 50-50 partnership for sure. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, that is 100% true. It's funny because as much as you dread,
he's trying to close out, man.
The crazy. I want to go. I have to talk last.
I know.
I see how I do it. I get the closure.
You get the last word.
Yeah, because you know I'm the oldest one here. I get the. So you know, as much as you want, you just put stuff out. Like with Seth, going back to Seth's demo, where he wants them people to reply back. I want those comments. Like, I want people to be in the live stream chatting, talking about stuff, because that means you're involved. You're there. You're not just watching me like I'm some TV show.
Right.
You know, we're real. We're there, right? And even if you're watching it in repeat, we look at the comments and
we cry together.
And we cry.
Like, they made fun of my hair. Yeah.
I did feel fat that day. Oh,
well, the stuff they get down on you for negative. I just want to be like,
so
what
good.
Is this? How lonely are you? Why are you so bored? You know.
But you got to. You know, it's funny though. I think just even though you tried to close the show, but see, you never closed.
No, go.
I have a terrible.
You say I talk a lot. This poor guy, man. It's like, I got to pick up my kids, Dan. Let's wrap this up.
No, but it's just really funny because I think all the time of me working professionally. As a photographer, it helped me because, again, going back to the story where they were like, why'd you waste my time? One of the very first videos I ever did, I got my favorite comment because we're Adorama Pro brought to you by a bum, right? And I was like, well, okay, but this is what a photographer looks like. And going back to what you were talking about, there was this guy who came in. So when Adorama first brought me in, they're like, we're going to do a photo for the catalog. And they come in, the guy looks at me. He's like, this is the guy? And I'm like, what do you mean this is the guy? And he's like, oh, can we get? And they got the security guard. Because he was wearing a suit to be the pro photographer. And I thought to myself, I'm sure that some photographers wear suits, but like, why are we faking, right? Like, this is what I look like. This is what a pro photographer looks like. I'm just a dude. I'm not, you know, I'm not here to like, I don't know, sell you the latest washer machine. You know, I work, I sweat, you know, and my, you know, my hands get dirty, and because that's what being a photographer is. And once, of course, they didn't use a shot of the guy in this. When management started, they were like, why did they shoot that guy? And I was like, well, the photographer you hired to come in here insulted me, so I left. you know, and because that's when I had an ego, which I don't have anymore. But I just think that
perception. Okay. You just call it confidence. It's still an ego. Like, are you out of your mind? Do you realize how many times you said, but I'm Daniel? Do you have any idea how many times you said that? Are you out of your mind right now? Yeah, close this out, homeboy. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
See how he's going to talk? We'll let's have that.
You're trying to get the last word.
Whatever. I owe a lot to Dan, so I'm going to let him get this last word, but you're out of your mind if you think you don't have an ego.
All right, well, my final word is, that's amazing.
Falafel.
Falafel. We'll end with falafel. Cool. Man, that's fun, guys.
Holy hell.
Did we answer any of the questions?
I don't even know. Yeah, I asked the first one, and you guys just went from there.
At some point, I was like, I don't think Pat talked.
I just sat there and watched the show. It was great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast, live from Imaging USA 2025 in Dallas, sponsored by Sony. A big thanks to them for putting all of this together so we could record our episodes. Now, there's something important we have to share. If you enjoyed this episode, you gotta like and subscribe to the channel. The PPA YouTube channel is going to the moon, and when you click subscribe, we will get infinitely cooler. So hit subscribe, and if you could, jump into the comments and tell us what you liked about this episode. That helps us know what to do more of, and sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes, what to do less of with the show. The other thing we want to remind you of, if you're not yet a PPA member, you are absolutely missing out on all the goodies that come with being a part of this organization. We're talking about equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a community of photography pros around you so you can go as far as you'd like in your photography journey. If you'd like to learn more, PPA.com is the site. That's PPA.com. At PPA, you belong here. Thanks for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller. We'll see you right here next time. Thanks for tuning in.